Well, I know it's the middle of the summer, but we're going to start this morning with a quiz. So I know you're excited. You're excited to see me anyway, but now you have a quiz, which makes it more exciting. It's just one question, and it's fill in the blank. You can cheat off your neighbor if you need to. All right, so we're in a United Methodist Church, so we can do this together. The mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That part got tacked on in the last few years. All right, good. Make disciples of Jesus Christ, right? That is the mission of the United Methodist Church. And so, a good starting point for what we should do with that mission is to figure out what it means to be a disciple. Now, you probably already know you have a Latin expert here in the house this morning. So I was going to ask her if she can tell us what a disciple is. Yes.
I didn't know about this part. A disciple comes from the Latin word discipulus, which means student, and it's from the Latin verb that means to learn. A disciple is a learner.
Okay, thank you. All right, so a disciple is one who learns. All right, and I've been thinking about disciples recently. I know you've been talking about relationships recently, and maybe one of the most universal relationships that we all experience in our lives is that of student and teacher. And a disciple is a student, one who learns. And so you might think of the teachers in your life today. You might be a teacher, so you might think of the students in your life. On this particular day, you might think of things you've learned from your father, if you did. Our father has taught us many things, especially some very colorful turns of phrase. If you are very anxious, you might be as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. If the roads are slick in the winter, they might be as slick as greased gopher gut. So our dad will be here in the second service. You could learn a lot more from him if you'd like. But anyway, there are lots of people in our lives who are our teachers, and lots of ways that we are disciples of others. And of course, Scripture tells us a whole lot of stories of disciples. I would recommend for your summer reading, if you need it, the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells us some really interesting stories of people who turn out to be good disciples, some stories of people who turn out to be not the best disciples, and a lot of people who are learning about Jesus and learning about the mighty deeds of God. And so here in Acts 8, we come to the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So the church started, Jesus ascended 2 weeks ago, was Ascension Sunday. Last week was Pentecost Sunday. I don't know if you did Pentecost here. I like to do it when I have a church because it's the birthday of the church, so we have cake. But so the disciples received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and then they were sent out to make disciples of all people. Kind of like, I don't know, the mission of the United Methodist Church. So we receive these stories of the early disciples making more disciples, and they're just fascinating, and they remind us that the Holy Spirit has always been on the move, but was doing a lot of really exciting things here in the book of Acts. And so we see some things about what it means to be a disciple. And so today I want to think about that in terms of signs of a disciple. And to be maybe a little bit kitschy about it, I thought of some actual signs that we as disciples might need to have with us on our faith journey. And so the first one that we see from the story is have faith, will travel, right? So Philip is one of the first disciples, and he's there on Pentecost, and he receives the Holy Spirit. And then an angel of the Lord, now I wish that an angel of the Lord would come and give me some clear instructions sometimes, but an angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, go out onto the desert road. That's where you want to go, right? Go out onto the desert road. Okay. But Philip does. And of course, at the end of the story, we see that the Holy Spirit picks him up and takes him somewhere else. That's some interesting travel, right? But have faith, will travel. That was sort of the way of the early church. The disciples didn't stick together in one spot after Jesus ascended and they finally received the Holy Spirit. They knew their job was to go out and travel and to share the good news around the world. And so they did. And so that's where we get Philip today showing up where the angel of the Lord had told him. But we also see another disciple traveling. The eunuch would have been, honestly, an outcast, a foreigner, an outcast by some other other terms about him, but he has found faith in this God of the Jews. Remember, all of the first disciples were Jews, and they considered themselves that. So the eunuch has met the God of the Jews, has come to worship that God, has traveled all the way to Jerusalem, even though he's a foreigner and an outsider. And so his faith has brought him to new places as well. And so a sign of a disciple is, if we have faith, then we're willing to travel somewhere. And so here they meet up, right? And I don't know, I guess we imagine Philip, he's just hanging out there. He's gone there because he's supposed to. And then the Spirit says, go up to that chariot. I don't know if he's like running along with it or if it's stopped, but he goes up. He's traveling where he's told to go. He's in an unlikely place, and he probably doesn't yet realize he's about to talk to a really unlikely person, but he discovers the second sign of a disciple here, and that is help needed. He walks up to this chariot, and he hears the man reading the passage from Isaiah that Amy read for us earlier, this passage that we might all be familiar with. It's in Handel's Messiah, right? If you listen to that around the holidays, you might go through your head as you hear it read. And this passage from Isaiah that's so familiar, and yet the Ethiopian eunuch doesn't know what it means. And Philip says, do you know what you're reading? And he says, how can I know without someone to teach me? The eunuch understands what I think we often don't want to admit, that we need help to be disciples. We need help to understand where we're supposed to be going in this life of faith. We need help to understand what's happening in this Bible that we have. And so he asks for help. And Philip has been placed there to be the help that day, to be the teacher. They become teacher and student in an unlikely place, an unlikely pair of people, because they are both on the road of discipleship. Help needed. Now, I know in the church, we don't always want to ask for help, right? I've always known that one person at the church who kind of prides themselves on, I do all the stuff around here, and doesn't ask for help, but then they get burnt out. Or the pastor who really needs a break, but won't take it because they think the whole church is relying on them. But we need help. We need each other in order to be the disciples that Jesus called us to be. So the second sign that we should carry as disciples is help needed, sometimes from unlikely sources in unlikely places, as we learn here. And the third, when we get to the end of this story, as the eunuch has discovered, as Philip has shared with him, is that there is good news. Now, we live in a world that's full of lots of news, right? And what sells is not good news. But what we have is the good news. If we are disciples of Jesus, if we have heard and read and discussed and felt the mighty acts of God, like the disciples did way back on Pentecost, and we do still today, we have good news. The eunuch was reading in his chariot. He was trying to understand what this was. And so Philip took the cue to fill him in on all the good news of Jesus Christ. And his life was changed. They were on a desert road, but suddenly they came upon some water. I think that's a really interesting point of this story, but they came upon some water, and the eunuch said, what is to prevent me from being baptized? Now, Philip was a good Jew, so Philip should have had a lot of answers for that. Well, you're a foreigner, and you're a eunuch, and I don't know for sure that you have, there's a lot of reasons you shouldn't be baptized, but he didn't. Because the Spirit was at work, because the good news was proclaimed, because the Ethiopian eunuch suddenly knew that his life was different, and he wanted to mark that by being baptized, to join. You know, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized, is what the book of Acts tells us. And then it says their numbers were added to day by day. And so here, someday on in the future from that day, This Ethiopian man's number was added to that 3,000. Philip baptized him. Philip shouldn't have had anything to do with him. But the Spirit said otherwise, because there was good news to be proclaimed, and they both had something to learn from this experience. And I love that it tells us that the Spirit, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit took Philip away to somewhere else where he preached the good news. And the Ethiopian man, he didn't sit there and cry that his teacher was gone. Instead, he rejoiced for what he had learned and for the good news that he now knew. Now, we don't know what happened when he went back home, but we know that his life was changed, so we can guess that he was different, that something back in Ethiopia happened because he had met Jesus through Philip and the work of the Holy Spirit. He became a disciple. He became a student of an unlikely teacher, and he heard the good news. And so we have good news to share today as well. Life may not go the way we want it to. We might feel like the world is turned upside down, but we have good news. Because we've heard about this Jesus too. Because we believe that the Holy Spirit is still around and changing people's lives, and putting us where we're needed, and pushing us where we're uncomfortable, and forming us into the disciples that God calls us to be. So, good news. We have good news today if we're disciples. Who are the disciples in your life? Who are you called to teach? Who are you called to share good news with? Who are you called to ask for help from so you can be a better disciple? We would all have different answers to this. And maybe you haven't felt like a student in a long, long time, but we are all students of something. We're all students of the Spirit, as the Spirit leads, if we will be available and willing to travel. Now, I think about students and teachers a lot, because I work with students at Eastern Illinois University, which is someplace that I know you, I see the look, you're like, I don't know where that is. Most people don't, and that's fine. But it is a privilege to work with students and to ask questions together and to grow in our faith together and to think about the ways that God is challenging us and calling us and moving in our lives. And that's one reason that I'm so excited to be in campus ministry. I've been there for just under 2 years. And I felt called to be in campus ministry because my life changed dramatically because of the chaplains and campus ministers that I experienced through college and graduate school. And in fact, today's the first day that I'm wearing this particular stole. It came from a mentor who was the president of the college where I went. And he is now retired. And I'm so thrilled that he would share this token with me, that I can remember the ways that his ministry touched my life, that I was his disciple as I was becoming more of Christ's disciple. And so not only do I want you to think about the ways that you are called to be a teacher and a student, but I want to encourage you as well to think about the ways that you can make a difference in the lives of students. You have a Wesley Foundation, which is the United Methodist Student Ministry, just down the road from you at the University of Cincinnati. They have started a new endeavor to have a community for students, a residential community for students. It's on Riddle Road, which you know where that is, and I don't, but that's okay. And so you are invited to an open house there on August 4th. That's a while from now. But I know if you find their website, or if you ask around, you can learn more about the Wesley Foundation in Cincinnati and the ways that you can make a difference in the lives of students there, just as you are being students of the Holy Spirit as well. So I didn't want to let that chance pass for you to know about that and to mention to you how significant it is that we as United Methodists support and encourage ministries to students who are actually in college, not just the students of life that we all are. And so I'm appreciative of that. The apportionment dollars that you pay help support campus ministries. They're not just your franchise fee for being United Methodist. And so I want to thank you for that as I encourage you to think about the ways that you can be students and teachers as we are all disciples together. So thank you for having me today and for being faithful disciples and for being open to the way the Spirit will grow you and move you as you finish, as you continue on your journey of faith. You have good news to share, and we are thankful for that good news. Amen.